Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we go live. Can I get some more coffee, please? Thank you, love. Shoot. Well, Good morning, COF. Good to have you here with us. Guess that microwave doesn't sound as loud in the other room as it does out here. It's all right. It's all right. So, morning, everybody. Now, all right. Looks like we're live. Morning, everybody. Good to have you here with us today. Thank you for all of you that come and join us on Sundays and enjoy the work of the ministry that we do right here. Simple Hour of Faith, where we talk about some part of the Christian life and the faith that it brings. And thank you. We truly mean it. Thank you for being here. And our life is completely a life that is totally just given to helping anyone that's around us stand up in faith and become everything that God wants them to be. So we welcome you. Get our technologies up and moving here. Now, let's see. So, if you like, Pastor, what's that stare you got? That's that stare of, all right, come on, technology work. Here we go. Today, we're going to be talking about the love of the Father to guide and guard and govern us to an understanding of our inheritance. And so, We welcome you to be here and be a part. Enjoy this word with us this morning. As of yet, we don't see anybody that's signed in. but that's okay. So today we're going to be talking about love, Father, to guide and guard and govern to our understanding of our inheritance that we have in the Father. Now, every week, if you follow these Sunday messages, you can actually go find them on YouTube or on Facebook. They're continually there. And you'll be able to search it up. If you search my name, when you get to the YouTube channel, you can actually search right on the channel. And it will have the date and the words Hour of Faith inside the title. So when you study that, that'll give you the ability, or when you search that, that'll give you the ability to find these, so that you can go back and search these up and listen to them all together in the line and be a blessing to you. Did you ever get a notification for this one? It's all right. It's a beautiful day here in Williston, North Dakota. And I hope wherever you are, you're having a beautiful day. This has been a very unusual year of weather. I noticed yesterday they were getting weather in Arizona and New Mexico and Colorado. And everybody was like, wow, check it out. Do you know, that's one of the signs of the times in the end, is Jesus actually said there's going to be weird weather situations happening all over the world. And I remember this, or, you know, the monsoon time last year with Brother Tambir, he said that's the highest he's seen the monsoons in 35 years. That's a long time. And this is just another one of the signs of the time, signs of the end. Isn't that something? I have no notification.
I just got.
I would really
another
like
another one. I thought I had gotten one earlier, and now
I really like to be able to see who's on. Well, if you're on with us, I'm not going to be able to see your name. Evidently, Facebook doesn't believe I need to be able to do that. So. I just always like to see who's on and say hi to you. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter to us because we like to see who you are. Let's do that. And let's do this. Let's go back to this and get to that. Isn't that so? We'll get it happening. There we go. Craig McAllister is with us today. Hey, Craig. This is why I like to make this thing work, because I get to see somebody that's with us. Hey, man. It's good to have you here today. Craig and I grew up down the street from each other. He wasn't on the other side of the tracks. He was on the other side of the hill. The only tracks there was in our neighborhood was deer tracks. Brother, it's good to see you this morning. Wherever you are now, God bless you and your family. And going live with YouTube too, though. May God bless you. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing the older we get. You ever notice that the older we get, the more focused we are in every part of our life to just live a good life and just live a good life. And God bless you and you and you. And let's all make something happen together. And let's be friends, and let's not let things separate us and divide us. You know, we The work that God's given us to do right here is to teach the relationship that he wants to have with you. And thank God for every bit of training and understanding you have of God up to this point. Thank God for his life that he's living on the inside of you. Thank God for the strength and the power and the blessing of God that everybody gets to have. One of the most interesting things you'll ever find out about our God is no matter what your church is, your pastor is, whatever your ecclesiastical, religious side of your life is, God wants to have a relationship with you personally. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, that seemed like a little bit of a rough start, but I don't know. I have yet to understand how to effectively just go live and come on live with you and just everything be in perfect order yet. I think we have to go to the next level of technological advance than where we are right here to make that happen. But we're continually learning. But, you know, it doesn't change the power of what God's doing. I mean, you think about this technology. Dan Cottle's with us. God bless you, Brother Dan. It's good to have you with us this morning. Sister Gwen, right there in Central Michigan, we call you and your family blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Now, to think about this technology that takes us all over the world at the same time. I mean, that is some pretty amazing technology. It really is. And today we're going to be in Malaysia and Pakistan and Sweden and the United States of America. And who knows where else this is going to go. Simply by turning on your computer, setting up your cell phone and saying, let's talk about our God for a while. It is absolutely an amazing process. And we welcome you. When we get finished here, we will receive communion together. So get you some grape juice and some bread, or grab you some water and bread, something, crackers, so that you can receive communion with us. We do it every time we come together, because at the beginning of the mandemic, the Holy Spirit instructed me, there's a lot of people that'll listen to you that have no ability to get where they can receive the communion elements. Asan Gill, good morning, brother. It's good to have you with us today. God bless you, man. God bless you. I got to have everybody just pause for a second, because I've got to adjust my equipment so that I can see effectively. Yeah, let's move this out. There we go. There we go. Just all of a sudden realized that is not going to work right there. And my grips are close by, but they're hard at work. So, welcome everybody. I just like to be able to see who's on. And my monitor to do that was just too far away. I like to be able to say good morning to you guys. There we go. Now it's working. Asan Gill, that's Pakistan right there. God bless Pakistan. God's doing some big things in Pakistan right now. And I'm sure glad that we get to be a part of it. God bless you, sir. Let's pray and we'll get started with the word of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your wonderful presence that's with us right here, right now, today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you're blessing the people who are there and you're blessing us. You're helping us all to do your work and to do your way. And we give you glory for it. Thank you, Lord. that our lives will be blessed right here, right now, this morning or afternoon or whatever time it is around the world, that during this time, by our relationship with you and our understanding of who you are. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That your hand of blessing is always with us, is always leading us, is always strengthening us. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Let's go to the, first of all, let's go to the notes here. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 17. And we're going to lay the foundation kind of inside out today rather than bottom side up. I don't recommend you build a house that way. But when we're talking about a doctrine, all of the word comes to us line upon line, precept upon precept. So every part of the word of God you can get, it's the coolest thing in the world about coming to an understanding of God, because every time you hear the word preached, you can say, that's a foundation verse, and put it in your foundation, and your foundation becomes strong. You can say, wait, that's a structure verse, and you can add that verse to your structure. You can say, wait a minute, that's a roof verse. And you can take that verse and add it there. And no matter what your structure looks like, whatever the verse comes to you, you can take that verse and place it in that part of your life. Amen. Say it. I got a solid foundation. All my structure's working. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. John 17, 20. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed at the end of his life and ministry over him and over the disciples. Now watch. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, I want you to see this. The title for today and the instruction that I was given is the love of the Father to guide and guard and govern to the understanding of our inheritance. Say this, I have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. So why? Paul said all through the New Testament, we have an inheritance that fades not away. It's incorruptible. Peter said it's incorruptible. It's of godly seed. And that inheritance comes through our Lord Jesus. Now watch. Take it out of that story and put it into our story. I have a son. His name is Joshua. I spent my life training and teaching Joshua. Ready? Guiding, guarding, and governing him to the place that he would be a valuable member and know who he is in God. Does that make sense how I said that? So then a father spends that time every day. It don't matter. You wake up in the morning, you're still on duty. Here's the thing that is very interesting in this day that we live. There's some people who say, I don't even know how to do it. Well, it's natural on the inside of you. Unless, of course, somebody has told you that you're wrong for guiding, guarding, and governing, which is what so much of the media is about today, which is so much of what Hollywood is about today is to say, you don't need a family unit. You don't need the cohesion of a family. Well, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And that's why God calls us his family. Say, I'm part of the family of God. We are. Now watch. Jesus is praying here that, and look at what he says. He's praying to the Father that you, Father, are in me. Jesus, the Son, is praying to the Father that we would come to the understanding of the relationship of a father and a son, a father and a daughter. This is his prayer. The longer a child lives and walks with the parent, the more they become one in their understanding of life. The statement always is. Anybody that's reached 30 begins to understand it. Anybody who reaches 50, it's settled forever in heaven. The older you get, the wiser your parents were. You ever notice that? And it's a very natural thing as you're growing and developing to say, hey, I know something here too. Well, you do know something. You do. But the idea is what is happening? You're gathering all this information of life, and you've got one person who is supposed to love you with everything in them and guide you and guard you and govern you to the place of coming to an understanding. Now, people say, what's that govern word you're talking about? Well, in days gone by, many parents believe that their place in a child's life was a strict, hard disciplinarian. I'll beat you into submission. Well, wait a minute now. Let's think about that statement. If you had a kid that was absolutely rebellious and wouldn't listen to a word you said, you might have to have hard discipline. But unless there's horrendous things in life that happen, most kids want the love and the protection of their parents. Right? So without an outside voice interrupting that and saying your mom and dad are wrong for teaching you or whatever, that kid's going to automatically enjoy the love and the protection coming to know who they are in this world. And you spend your life not being a hard disciplinarian. You spend your life guiding. I mean, at the beginning, when you have a small child, you say, do not run in the street. And if the kid runs in the street, you bring him back and say, if you run the street again, I'm going to whoop your hide. Wait, that's all they know at that point. Because they don't have the ability to see that vehicle's coming down that street. 35 miles an hour does not see you. Now you're a grease fuck. So then you say, I'll whoop your hide. Well, you really don't want to whip their hide. You want them to not run in the street and get run over. But the only thing they understand at that point. Then the day comes when you stand on the sidewalk and you say, you see how that car's coming? He doesn't see you. And if you run out there, he'll run over you. From that point on, it's not about, I got to whip your hide. It's about, wait, let me show you. I remember, I don't even know how many times. Who knows? It's every time. I lived in town as Joshua was growing up. We would get in the wagon and walk down the sidewalk and get to the corner half a block away. We always stop and listen. Why? Teaching them that you're looking and you're listening for those cars to come. Why? You got to get it instilled in them early if you walk out in that street, you're probably going to get run over. That's a really fun story. I forget who it happened to. I forget who that meant. It's a true story, though. Somebody turned the corner and the door opened up. Kid rolled out. All right. In the middle of a busy intersection. And the kid got up and was running for the ditch. I wish I could remember where. It don't matter who. It's a true story, though. And the parent's like, why did you run like that? And this is what this little kid said. Did you see how busy it was on that corner? Now, I can tell some stories on that because my mom and dad had an old Dodge that the door just would not stay closed on. And there were several times my brother Joe was leaning on the door when we pulled in the driveway when he rolled out in the yard. But, you know, that's dandelions and grass. Not like an intersection. But the point is this. You slowly bring that child to the understanding of the love you have for them and how much you want them to enjoy life. And yet you gotta be able to teach them. There are some things in this life that you must be careful of. We would go to the railroad tracks. Once he got old enough, I'm just using my son Josh this morning because I love my son, Josh. We'd ride bikes down to the railroad track. And we'd watch the train. We're like crazy train people. We chased a train one day for like 25 miles. It was a blast. Who knows how many miles it was. We'd just go right down the track and stop at everything. Every driveway, we'd wave at him, get back out on the road, run down, wave at the next one. It was a blast. We had a blast doing it. And then one day the train stopped and said, would you like to come up here and look inside? That's what the engineer said. We just climbed right up in there, got on the inside with him, had a big time with him. Not really, really, really nice conductor, engineer, whatever it was. What were we doing? We were learning life. Now let's get back to this verse and see what it says here. Verse 21, John 17, 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. The more you and I have an understanding of who God is, the more we have that understanding, the more anybody who watches us will say, you're not really religious, are you? And what do they mean? There's something about your Christian testimony that is different than most other people that I see. I'm a Christian. I carry my Bible with me everywhere I go. But I don't carry it so I can shake it at you. Does that make sense? I don't carry my Bible because I want to point out how wrong you are. I carry my Bible because you never know when God's going to speak a verse to me, and I'm going to want to open it up and get it off the page of this book. I know. This is my phone right here. I know I got a Bible on my phone. It's just not the same as the living word of God found on these pages, is it? You got to be able to open up. And so Jesus said right here that they will all be one with you like we are. Well, think about all that's going on in your life as Jesus, as God, through Jesus, is teaching you how to live and function in this life that we are. Have you thought about it lately? The Almighty God of heaven wants to have you be a part of him, and he wants to be a part of you. Get my statement right here. All of a sudden, we start looking at this going, Goodness sakes alive. This is a whole lot bigger than church. Thank God for church. Thank God for church buildings.
Yeah.
Thank God for people in churches that are reaching local communities, making a difference. That's what this whole thing is based on, is God gives somebody an assignment to go to a specific situation and then help them stand up and be strong in the things of God. Now, watch this. Jesus came to this earth as a baby, as a child. And he had to be grown as a child. And he had to be developed as a child. And he had to learn as a child. And in so doing, he has learned exactly what you and I see and must understand about how to develop our relationship with God. He sees it all. Think about this fact. Think about it. Jesus, who knows what their diapers were? Jesus had to wear a diaper. Get the revelation. Jesus ate food and his system had to digest it. He had to grow and develop so that he could be the perfect example of how to live on this earth. And he is and he was that perfect example on this earth. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 28. Actually, yeah, 28. Jesus said to them, that's the scribes and Pharisees who were always after him, trying to trick him and trap him. Verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, Jesus called himself the Son of Human. He wasn't the son of Joseph, but he was the son of Mary. All right? That you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Now watch this. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus was at first taught by Mary and Joseph. And then as soon as Jesus got to the age and he began to understand life, if you go back to Luke chapter 2, I believe it is, yeah, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to verses 39 through 51, 52. You can go there and see that Jesus, at the age of 12, was in the temple teaching and asking questions, and they were learning and saying, where did this young man get all this wisdom? Well, number one, he got the wisdom from the Father who was teaching him. He also learned, you ready for this? He also learned reading, writing, and arithmetic from his mama. You might say, how in the world does that work? He was God. Yeah, but he came to earth as a man. He was here as the Son of Man. We just read that in John 8, 28. Now let's go to Luke chapter 2 and let's read this, because this is the whole purpose of what I'm going to be teaching today. This is the whole purpose of this 1 hour of faith, which is what we call this, an hour of faith. The purpose is to build your faith on the simplicity of God's holy word. The greatest relationship that you will ever build is being one with the Father. It's the greatest relationship. You might say, I don't even know how you would do that, Pastor. You wake up every day and say, Father, thank you for another day. That's how you do it. You wake up every day and say, Lord, I love you. Show me how to reach the Father. And when you really think about it, The Father is the one that put us all on the earth, even Jesus. We go clear back to Adam and Eve. I don't care what anybody tells you. I've got 7,000 years of recorded history right here in this book in my hand. 7,000 years of very accurate history where the Father, Adam and Eve, in that garden. And then said, tend it and keep it and make it work. And we are the descendants of Adam and Eve. And had sin not entered, we would have had absolute strength. Yeah. Thank you, love. We would have had 7,000 years of glory had sin not entered. Now watch this. Luke 2:39. So when they had performed all these things at the temple, according to the law, they turned to Galilee to their own city, which is called Nazareth. Watch this. This verse 40 is about you and me and Jesus. Say it with me. Verse 40 is about you and me and Jesus. Hey, Ken Bowman here. How you doing, man? Ken and Amy and Kennedy. God bless you guys. Good to see you this morning. What's it like in West Branch this morning, guys? Verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, for everybody that's watching, I very specifically said to Ken, what's it like in West Branch this morning? And I meant that as a question. All right. And I expect Ken to give me an answer, even though I'm continually talking, because that's just how this whole platform works. And then he'll make a comment, and I'll stop, and we won't miss a word, and we'll have quite a conversation here. Now watch this. We're in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I know it's hard for some people to understand, but guess what? Jesus was a child. He not only grew strong hands, carpenter muscles, because Joseph was a carpenter, but he also became strong in his spirit. Say it with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. That's your mind, will, and your emotions. And I live in a body. As soon as you get all three of those in order with each other, you have an amazing situation. Isn't it something? How long it takes sometimes for communication to go back and forth there? And isn't it something how quick it is at times? It's just amazing. Verse 40, Jesus is growing in wisdom and stature and understanding. You know, Brother Ken here, Ken Bowman and Amy. I've been friends with them many years in Kennedy. I've seen Kennedy grow all the way, which is a pretty interesting situation. And it's no different than Jesus. Jesus, regardless of what anybody's told you, open this book and read it. And all of a sudden, you get a whole different picture than what religion has taught us to believe. And it's interesting. Jesus literally was here on this earth growing. Let's keep reading. I know I read this last week, but guess what, guys? I'm in the middle of this revelation. It is powerful revelation. This is changing our life, isn't it? 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. 42, he was 12 years old. Now watch this. How many people right now have a 12-year-old somewhere in their family? That 12-year-old is no different than what Jesus was. Except Jesus was trained in being who he is. If all of us at the very beginning of our life had someone who was looking on saying, Father, what's this person supposed to be? And they spent every day of their life training you and I what that one thing is we're supposed to be on this earth. By 10, 12, 14 years old, we'd all be right in the middle of the flow of that thing. Why? Well, this is what you're supposed to be. This is who you are by the design of the God of heaven. Now, all of a sudden, you give all of your effort to becoming that one thing that you are. And watch this. You ain't never seen life work so good in your whole life is when you find that one thing that you're supposed to be doing. Now, Brother Ken, Brother Ben's one of those people. This man here, I don't even know how do you describe your job, Ken? What'd they call that pallet? How'd they call that pallet thing they got? Reconstituting, what'd they call it? We have an island in our kitchen. A beautiful island that is a repurposed palette. We have no idea what the palette was used for before today, but today that palette is being used to hold pots and pans and a nice big square surface in the kitchen. With some wheels so we can move it anywhere in the kitchen that we want to move it. I really like it. It's one of the nicest pieces of furniture that we have. Pastor, do you guys just eat all the time? Yeah, we do. Yeah, I have a 13-year-old. You do. And listen, this is what makes this. I think it's interesting to Ken and Amy and Kennedy area. This is what makes this message. These kind of things is what makes it powerful. The same age as Kennedy. No, Kennedy's older now. I'm all messed up here. You do have a 13-year-old. Anyways, watch this. That's how old Jesus was. And let's look at this in verse 43. When they finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus. Did you notice that it called him a boy Jesus? Lingered behind in Jerusalem, and his parents didn't know it. It's like the modern day meme we have. You had one assignment, keep track of Jesus, and you lost him for 3 days. Now, if you lose your kid for 3 days today, it's pretty serious. But in that day, it wasn't as serious of a situation because every kid was protected by all the family that was around him. Everybody looked out after everybody else. But anyways, he was 12 years old. So, 44, supposing him to be in the company, he went back a day's journey. They didn't find him. 46, 3 days after they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Why? Because on the inside of him, he was trained to know that he had a specific destiny and he was connecting with the Father of Heaven in his destiny. So everything about him was reaching for that destiny. Mary told him who he was her whole life. And he was reaching for that destiny. What was the destiny? That you're going to be one with the Father and you're going to do the work of Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Once he grew, he knew what his purpose was here on this earth. But guys, he didn't grow. He didn't come out of Mary's womb at one day old and say, "Hi, Mary, I'm Jesus. I'm going to be the sacrifice of the whole world." That didn't happen. He was a child. He grew. He lived. He developed, just like every one of us will have to do. And watch this. The whole time the Father is speaking to that child, helping that child to come to the understanding of who he is. And the whole time Mary and Joseph are teaching and training Jesus who he will be. Do you know that the Father of Heaven will speak to parents to help them understand what their kids are, our lives are supposed to be, and then give you the instruction, the structure, and the ability to develop that child into what they should be? A child's gifts are going to come naturally. They're going to be seen naturally. And as soon as they're seen, you and I have got to do our best to help them get to that point where that gift can come alive. Keep moving them in that direction. Keep bringing the gift alive. Keep doing it. It's what Mary did. It's what God the Father wants every single one of us to do. Now watch. I'm really going way behind in my verses, what I got to get accomplished here. But watch this. 47. They were, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when Mary and Joseph saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, even though she stood there and was amazed, why did you do this to us? Wait, that's the perfect example of any mom. Why did you do this to us? Every mom's going to say that. All right? And Jesus said, did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And, of course, they didn't. It says they didn't understand it. But now look at 51. He went down with them, came to Nazareth. Listen to this statement about Jesus. And was subject to them. He still went back. Even though he's teaching the teachers, he still went back and was subject to them. And then look what it says. His mother kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. Now, go with me to the book of Galatians. We'll turn the corner and we'll talk about our relationship with Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, I believe, is where we're going. Actually, yeah, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. 11 through 14. That no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Remember the simple definition of faith we give all the time. You know God exists, and you know he will reward you when you diligently seek him. Say it. I know God exists, and I know he rewards me when I seek him. The just will live by faith. Verse 12. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Just keep going. Look at 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Think about it. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law, which means you had to kill an animal, you had to put the blood in specific ways, you had to eat it certain ways, you had to do all of that stuff to make it happen the right way. And Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse of the law, because no matter how good the law was, it was not going to forgive your sins. It was just going to cover them. For 5,000 or 4,000 years, whatever it was, 3,000 years. All the law did was cover it and kept you from being destroyed by God. Jesus came and delivered us. Look at 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Say it. The old was done, and now we're in the new. That's what it was. Everybody say it. The old is done. And now we're in the new.
And now we're in the new.
Why? Because God came through Jesus and he began destructing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Just keep following these verses. I know some of it's like, Pastor, this is difficult to understand. It's not really difficult to understand, but it's outside of the normal teaching of the church. But what it is teaching is, hold it, there is an understanding I got to get to here that is bigger than I must be born again. That's the first thing. Once you get that statement, that's the first piece of foundation. Now we got to build a whole structure on that foundation. And the cool thing is, you got God in you now, and he's teaching you from the inside out. I think that's one of the coolest things. People are like, well, I can't go to Bible college like you did. No, you don't have to. He's teaching you from the inside out and helping you make it. Now, 14. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Keep reading. Indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he, God, gives aid to the seed of Abraham, which you and I got through Jesus. Therefore, in all things, this is one of the powerful verses you got to get. In all things, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren. Who is his brethren? You and me. Jesus had to be made like us that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, and then make propitiation for the sins of the people, and that he himself suffered, being tempted like we are, and yet it was without sin. Galatians chapter 4. Say this with me. My Father lives on the inside. Everybody say it.
My father
lives on the inside of me. He lives on the inside of you. He's teaching you from the inside out. He's teaching you. Here we go. Galatians 4. Let's go to verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of it all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Say it. I am an heir. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of a woman. I just hope to get this today. To redeem those who were under the law. Look, here's the statement. That we might receive the adoption as sons. That you're not just a Christian, you're not just a churchgoer, you're not just an earthling that lives on earth, You literally get to become the Son of God. Not Jesus, but you get to become one of the sons of God. Look at verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit of God has come into your heart, so you have the ability to say, Father. And you can call him your Father. Listen, and he will give you that relationship as a father. Every 12-year-old, just like Jesus, can know who they are. And once they do, everything about their life changes. Once you find a child's gift, you ever notice that a little boy, when he's 5, wants to be a fireman or a police officer or a milk truck driver? That was always my deal. You know why? Because Leonard Griesick drove by the house every day and we waved at him and he honked a horn on his milk truck. Womp, womp. Some young men want to be a mailman. I don't know what girls want to be because I wasn't a girl. Didn't even try to be a girl. And there's only one. There's everybody that was born boy is a boy, and everybody born girl is a girl. I don't know what you girls wanted to be. What do you want to be, princesses and kiss frogs or something?
All of them.
A ballet dancer. A what?
A horse jockey.
Oh, a horse jockey.
And a veterinarian.
Taking care of the animals. Has a very specific desire to take care of the animals. But listen, God needs people everywhere. All right. But then as a child grows, a lot of those boys that want to be firemen don't even want to be near a fire. And I know a lot of young guys that if you sit them in the seat of a semi, they're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to sit up here. I don't want to do this. But that truck driver driving by went honking when he was a kid. But now, see, that's different. To me, I did. I jumped right up in that seat and was like, oh, yeah. Can you make this truck a little bit taller so I can see farther? I loved it. All right. But I was also one of those guys that laid in the yard and looked at the airplane. Lay there in the grass. We had some serious grass in our yard. And lay there in the grass and watch those airplanes go over. When I was just a little guy, Wurtsmith Air Force Base was open in Oscoda, Michigan. And those big bombers, man, them boys would fly over our house. They'd fly over and shake the windows. They were so low. The windows on the house would just rattle. My mom said one time they came whizzing by and evidently whatever it was breaking the sound barrier. I ran right out in the yard and said, oh, God, make it stop. Here, all I had to find out is it was a jet and I love it. And can I ride in it now? That's how I am now. Can I ride in that jet? What's the purpose of what you're saying? Jesus came. We read it right here in Galatians 4, 1 through 7, that we are no longer a slave or a servant, but we're sons. We're sons. A paleontologist, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, that's cool.
That you go around studying pale people. You know, whenever you put the word ologist on the end, that's somebody who studies. Somebody who studies pale people, paleontologist. Wait, I know you say that that's the study of dinosaurs, Rebecca, but I don't think you can get dinosaur out of paley in any way. How did them two words don't even match? Now watch this. This whole purpose of everything I'm teaching right now this morning is this simple fact. You and I have an inheritance as children of God. We do right now. We do. God wants us to know He's our Father and we're His Son. And you know what? That's the greatest understanding. As soon as we build that relationship, now all of a sudden, that relationship and that understanding of who we are helps us fine-tune and hone in on what we should do all of our life to be a blessing to people. And as soon as we find that, then you let nothing change that. And you literally get to become the very purpose why God put you on this earth. The book of Proverbs says, the path of the just is as a shining light that grows brighter and brighter to the perfect day. How does that work, Pastor? Well, think about it this way. We're getting ready to receive communion here. Think of it this way. As soon as Jesus comes into your life, you don't become a weird Christian. You don't have to go stand on a corner and shake your Bible at people. You don't have to become an obnoxious, angry, God hates everybody person. Nope. You don't have to become a weird churchianity person. What you do is you get God Almighty on the inside of you. And He begins to lead you to become who you are. So picture this. Before Jesus comes in, your heart is dark by the nature of sin. And then you say, Jesus, I receive you. Boom, He's in there. And there, nobody can take Him out. Say this with me. Nobody can take Jesus out. Once He's inside of me. Right? Watch. You can cover Him up with sin and confusion, but you ain't taking Him out if you want Him in there. The greatest thing you got to get an understanding of is, wait, God's inside of me. I'm not deity. I just get to be adopted into the family of God, and now I have God on the inside. So watch what happens. You were dark. And you said, Jesus, I receive you. And He comes in. Now watch. Now you become light. And the greater understanding you get of God inside of you and what He's doing in you and with you, the greater that light becomes on the inside of you. And the brighter it grows 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 and the brighter it grows. And you become the light. The book of Proverbs says the path of the just is as a shining light that gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until it's a blazing light. Okay, I wasn't going to give you another verse, but now I am. Some of you are looking at me weird, so I got to give you another verse. Matthew. Let me grab the exact reference here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out in the street and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Look at 16. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Say it. I'm going to let my little light shine. Everybody say it. I'm going to let my little light shine. See, all of a sudden, guys, all of a sudden, you and I begin to see the value of you on this earth filled with God. And your place filled with God is a bright, shining light to everyone who's around you, every day, in every way. Now, I'm just checking one more verse here. God wants you to be a shining example of his love. And you know what's amazing? It doesn't matter what you've ever done in your life. Because the moment you say, Jesus, come in, he wipes it away. The moment you say, I surrender to you, everything that wasn't in those words, that aren't in, I surrender to you, everything is wiped away. As soon as you say it. And now the light begins to shine. And now people just come up to you like, there's something about you, I'd like to be with you. As soon as you begin to say, wait, it's because I found God loves me. They'll be like, oh, you found religion. No, I didn't find religion. I found God. You and I might never agree with all of religion, because there's a whole bunch of it that's just religious gobbledygook that doesn't do anybody any good. But when you and I find Jesus, now everybody that's around us begins to be affected and be blessed by that Jesus. That, my friends, is a pretty amazing situation. That is a pretty amazing situation. Now, think about this fact. You were put on this earth to be a blessing to many people right where you live, right where you work, right there in everything you do. And just like Jesus, you get to grow and develop in God. And as soon as you don't resist the Father being inside of you any longer, he begins to train you of what he wants you to do. Right here. And it comes right out of his holy word. He begins to train you. And he begins to strengthen you. He begins to help you. You find someone like me, it begins to teach you the word. You stick with them. You're like, wait, there's a word here. I got to get it. I got to be established. I got to be settled. I got to have an understanding that is strengthened and is solid and is walking with God. Everything about our Father is to build a family. Say it. Everything is about family with God. Everything. He makes you a part of his family. And that's what he's going to continually strengthen in your life. Now, we're going to receive the communion elements. I encourage each of you, wherever you are right now today, I encourage you right now, get some communion elements. You might say, Pastor, I don't have juice. That's all right. Jesus turned the water into wine. Get you some communion elements. Get you some crackers or something. And let's receive communion together. Now, we call it the New Covenant worship because that's what Jesus called it. So we receive it a little differently than some do, but we receive it in the way that God has led us to. And the cool thing about God is that he doesn't care how you receive it, as long as you get the most important parts in it, and that is Jesus died to give you life. And that life is seen in these elements, and it's going to produce life in your life. We're going to speak the word. We're going to pray a prayer, and you're going to be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's finish our time of study today with prayer. Father, thank you for each of these who are here with us today. Lord, Sometimes we, the preachers, give everything within us, well, I guess every time, to help every person around us know who you are. May every person around me know you. May everyone know you. May they come to the living knowledge of who you are. May from the inside out, they see the relationship. You're their father. And you're living and moving on the inside of them. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. The verses are right in the comments. Follow along with us here. For I received from the Lord Jesus that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took a cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." 26, for as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Your Bible probably says the Lord's death, but when you break the word death down, it means all of the redemptive work that was in it. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, you'll notice that I skipped 27, 29, and 30. I do it for a simple reason. Because those verses are filled with a serious amount of judgment. And the church has said to many people, if you come here and receive these elements and you've sinned, you are damned to hell. You're gonna drink destruction to you. That is not what this says. Look at verse 28. A man examine himself. That's the whole answer. When you sit down with the communion elements, examine your own heart and make a declaration. Lord, I need you in my life. Say this with me. Don't run from him. Run to him. Don't run from your father. Run to him. Don't be afraid of his correction. Receive it. Because he's not in heaven with a club. He's there guiding. A kid went to the house wide open, and you see him coming, and you just put your hand on the corner of the table. What did you do? You didn't slap your kid down because he's getting ready to run into a table he's not paying attention to. You just made a point of protection that when your little head bumps it, you don't get the full brunt of that table head on your head. And some people are like, yeah, I let them run right in the pastor. Get a big old knot. They'll learn not to do that. This is called guiding when you put your hand there. Guide. Oh, that's your head. And there's no mean, hard nothing that's in it. And that's what the communion elements are. The simple view of everything the Old Testament was. In a cracker and in a glass of juice. The whole Passover meal put right here. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You ready? Pray this prayer of examining yourself with me, and you'll be ready to receive the elements. Here we go. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
Jesus is the door.
Jesus is the door.
And I enter in.
And I enter in.
According to John chapter 1.
According to John chapter 1.
When I receive you, Jesus.
When I receive you, Jesus.
You give me the power.
You give me the power.
To become a child of God.
To become a child of God.
And I receive you now, Jesus.
And I receive you now, Jesus.
And I believe in you.
And I believe in you.
Now, do this. Take all the sin. Cup your hands and let it represent any sin in your life. And just dart it out and say, I can't deal with that, Jesus.
Deal with this sin, Jesus.
Now, put your hands out and say, I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling my life.
Filling my life.
In every area.
In every area.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word.
Understand the word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I thank you for it.
I thank you for it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Just like that. You're a member of the family. Here's the cool thing about our God. You follow us. We pray this prayer all the time. But every time you pray it, it takes on a new meaning. Watch this. The first time you pray it, it gets you right with God. Every time after that you pray it, it builds another piece of foundation in your life. And establishes you that much greater in the things of God. Repetition of it. No repetitious prayer does you any good to repeat it out of repetitiousness. Any prayer that you say more than once because you love what that prayer is saying and you love the God that's in it and you're growing in God, now that establishes your heart. Because it's a meditation of the word. In that prayer, you went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. Watch this. You went from your sin, which you don't have any ability to win and defeat, to Jesus' righteousness, which wipes out all the power of sin in your life and fills you with his righteousness. That's a pretty big deal. In that one prayer, you literally became a child of Almighty God. How beautiful is that? That is amazing. You literally are now adopted into the family of God, and the Father comes and lives on the inside of you. You might say, I don't even know how that can work, preacher. I know it doesn't make sense to the brain, but when you think about it, you just experienced it. And it's happening in your life. My email address and website are right there in the comments so that you have the ability to write and say, hey, I need some help. Instruct me in this. I will do it. You send an email, I'll send you one back. That's how I work. Because that's how I am. Now watch. We're going to receive these elements now. And let's bless them and receive this together in Jesus' mighty name. Pray with me, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Everything in me produces.
Everything in me produces.
In my body.
In my body.
In you, from your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ.
In my community.
In my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That it wasn't those chains that held you to the whipping post. It was your love for us. And you defeated every sickness and disease in Jesus' mighty name. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am. New creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace,
to the throne room of grace,
where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down in my life.
Is cast down in my life.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the juice together too. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It says they sang a hymn and went out. And hopefully today, I know today, God spoke his word through me, and it touched your life. I encourage you to go back and study this again. You can find it on the YouTube channel. The title of today's message, you want to write it down? Today's title is, The Love of the Father to Guide, Guard, and Govern. You search up the love of the Father on our YouTube channel, which is just my name, Samuel J. Cotton. Then all of a sudden, you'll be able to find all these teachings, and they're there by the hundreds. Here's the thing. When you open it up, there should be a timestamp in there that takes you right to the beginning of the message on most of them. Today, we just start right out here today doing it, and we welcome you to be a part. I'm very serious. Send me an email. Send me a text. Instant message. We will help you walk with God because that is our place on this earth. And we thank you for being here with us today. Sister Leanne has put the verses in just in the same order in which we gave them to you today. That's a powerful, powerful tool. If you just snap a screenshot of that with your phone right now, that'll give you the ability to go back and study these exact verses again so that you can see that revelation exactly how we said it. Get your Bible open, read them, and then turn this back on and listen to it again. That's how I gained my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Anything else we got to say, love? March the 22nd on a Monday night, we're going to have a one-year birthday party for how long we've been doing the work of the ministry right here, doing this. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And it'll be on the Community of Faith page. And it's just going to be a big birthday party. 1 year we've done this, walking with God, being faithful to His Word. And we choose to be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Well, like we say every time we come here. Excuse me. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Make sure you click like or love so that you are can see your name. And we can pray for you because we literally pray for you by name in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go.